so tonight I just couldn't come without dealing with end times. That seems like, you know, that's my calling right now, and that's what God has commissioned us to do. And our team is putting together a book tour, and we're going to be hitting some places this summer and everything. But God is really moving us strongly in this area, and He confirms it over and over. So one of the things was, Pastor Rogers and I, we attend a pastor's conference every year. We try to if our schedules allow. And this year we went, and I'm telling you, the first three speakers spoke about the rapture. And it was so funny, I had a copy of my book, and Dr. Rogers, we were sitting there, and we just kept turning the pages, and they kept just preaching straight out of our book. And so the Lord has commissioned us to get this message out. How many of y'all have gotten a copy of our book? Okay. How many of y'all ever read it? Did you read the whole thing? Read it cover to cover. Praise God. There's more of y'all than my people in my church. I think I had one. Everybody had the book, but nobody read it. They just checked the boxes. You know, got to get pastor's book, y'all. But you should actually read it sometime. I'm not going to ask who's all read Getting Free, Staying Free from cover to cover. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm let y'all be friendly with me, okay? But if you buy a book for your pastor, maybe go ahead and read it. Hello. I can't hear nobody. All right. So want you to get those copies. And also, we've got the new copies, the ones without any problems and have been proofread and all of that. So we're going to give those other ones away. Or I was going to tell Dr. Rogers we could pay people to take those other ones. He was like, no, man, it's still good. So y'all can give them away to evangelism or whatever, and we'll get anybody who wants a copy. If you still have some of those old copies, you can get those tonight for free. Somebody say amen. All right. Are y'all ready to get in the Word? Amen. All right. Father God, we just thank you. You speak to us and through us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will think through our minds, speak through our lips. Thank you that this word will go unhindered, unchecked by any spirit, human or demonic. Father, we bind the devil. We take authority over anything that comes from hell, any agent of hell, any person that's embodiment of on the earth, Lord, that represent hell, any witches, warlock, anybody that doesn't want the word of God to go forth, doesn't want churches to prosper, pastors to be successful right now. We bind those spirits in the name of Jesus, and we cause them to be of none effect in this room. Father, we thank you, Lord. We know that the seed sows the word, and that sometimes the devil comes immediately and steals the word. But right now, Father, we suspend the effect of the devil to be able to do that with people, Lord. There will be no distractions tonight. And Father, people will be able to hear the word, Father, and it go down deep in their heart and take root. In the name of Jesus, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold tonight. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for clarity. We thank you for boldness. We thank you for the anointing. And we thank you for the ministry moment tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can't start there. Sister Tony, I think they sent you, did they send you a link? Okay, we're gonna show that, but let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And, you know, I keep getting pushed into this, that this is my ministry. And one of the things that's really stirring me on about end times is that I keep running into people that never heard of the rapture. Yes. Never even heard of it. This is the problem, that pastors aren't preaching about it. And so one of the people at the pastor's convention was talking about that at the conference. Billy Brims was saying people, the pastors aren't preaching it. They've gone astray from preaching this, and many people went to seminaries that didn't believe in it. The theology doesn't believe in it. So we're meeting a lot of people that have never even heard of the rapture who are supposed to be Christians and in the church. Yeah. How many of y'all are aware of this? Yes, sir. All right. Here's the second thing. I think Lady Rogers went somewhere with a Christian organization and did a devotion. Can I tell us? Well, I can tell it now because I put you on the spot. I should have asked you before. I'm sorry. That's how I do. But did a devotion with some young girls and at a Christian organization. And nobody ever heard of the rapture. Nobody but one person had heard of the rapture. And y'all, we're in the end times. Yeah? Well, y'all think about it. So my daughter had her book. She was reading it at her job the other day. And said the little girl, the girl said, you read a book on the rapture? You must be brave, African-American person. And so then we started our Kingdom University branch this week, and they had a class on our book. And some of our members were saying, yeah, we thought it's too scary to talk about the rapture. So in the African-American community, there is this disdain for revelations. And anybody know about this? Yeah. That people are afraid of this? And yet the Bible says that those that read Revelation, the revelation of Jesus, will be blessed. Seems like our people are always on the opposite side of stuff sometimes. Yeah. And so some of our people, other cultures, you know, yeah, end times, the rapture, you know. But our people, there's a barrier there, and we're going to talk about some of that tonight. So before we get off into what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're going to preach one of the chapters from our book tonight, I want to talk about the top five current signs of the end times. And hopefully you don't only get your news from CNN or get your news from Fox, you know, all of that politically biased information, but hopefully you can get you're getting some of it from Christian news sources, people that are really watching what's going on in the world. There are some things going on right now that are talking about the end times and are warnings about what is to come. Now, we believe that the rapture is imminent. Everybody say it's imminent. That means there are no signs for the rapture. It could happen at any moment. You understand? But there are signs leading up to end of the age stuff, stuff that's going to be happening in the tribulation, stuff that is going to happen after the rapture, right? And so we are seeing signs of that. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And Bible experts believe that this was the first letter that Paul wrote to the church, was in Thessalonians. And look at verse 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. You notice that whenever the Bible says, I would not have you to be ignorant about something, that people are actually ignorant about that very thing? Yeah, right. That's the thing they're ignorant about. Obviously, that's what the devil wants to keep in. There's another scripture that talks about Paul said, I wouldn't have you be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Yeah. And people are ignorant about spiritual gifts, aren't they? Yeah. So no wonder there's so much debate and pre-trib and mid-trib and all that stuff, right? But I want you to see, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those that are asleep, that you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What's going to happen? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a great time to give God a shout of victory. So Jesus talked about this in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 13th chapter of Mark. He says, when you see these signs, Don't be like the world. He says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Look what it says, verse 18. Therefore, spook all the black people out with these words. That's not what it says. These words should be comforting to us. Comfort one another with these words. So as we get into the five present things that we're seeing, that I mean, there's no other explanation. You're going to see some of these things, and I want you to get your heart ready, okay? Because some of this stuff is going to be, and I showed Dr. Rogers one of these, because I said, nah, you want me to show? He said, yeah, man, show it. Okay, so I want to make sure. I want to make sure. Sometimes I'm a little edgy. Tell somebody, Pastor Ryan is a little edgy sometimes. Amen. So I have to check with Pastor. Amen. All right. So let's roll it. Top five current events of the end times. All right. Number five. Anybody heard about the earthquake in Turkey? Now, I thought it killed 2,000 people. 2,000? How about 5,000? 10,000? Keep going. Over 46,000 people died in this earthquake in Turkey. And they're still counting because there are people that they can't find. Matthew 24:7 says, for the nation shall rise against nation, ethnic groups against ethnic groups, and kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in different places. And this earthquake was magnitude 9 point something, right? It killed over 46,000 people. Roll this. We're going to show a clip of this. Go to the... Yeah. This is...
In southern Turkey, buildings crumble like sand. Obliterated by some of the worst earthquakes in a century.
That's it. 46,000 people. And there are some prophets that are saying that an earthquake of that magnitude is coming to America. Have you heard this? You've heard this? Yes. Yeah. Yo, we got to get ready. Now, it's not for us to get scared. Right? When we see these things approaching, we ought to what? Look up. For our redemption draws nigh. Number four. Next one. Oh God, the Euphrates. Now, here's the thing. Americans are so ignorant because we're so American-centered. We believe that everything centers around America, but it doesn't. Biblical prophecy, the stage of biblical prophecy, is going to take place in the Middle East, okay? So you got to watch the Middle East. Now, the Euphrates begins, guess where? In Turkey. So there are several prophecies about the Euphrates. Look at Revelation 16 and 12. It says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was what? Dried up. Everybody say, dried up. Everybody say it again. Now the Euphrates was a very active river. It was one of the first rivers mentioned in Genesis. You remember that? The Tigris River and Euphrates in the Garden of Eden, right? So many people believe that the Garden of Eden must have started in Turkey because the Euphrates River starts in Turkey where we just had this earthquake. So now we got Turkey. Can you connect the dots? And now you got the Euphrates River. Now, at the time of this is 2,000 years ago, the Euphrates River has never dried up. Do you understand this? It's never been dry, the Euphrates River. 2,000 years ago, there was a prophecy about the end times, which I believe we're in now, that the river would dry up. Now, this is, of course, after the rapture of the church, but yet and still, the river has to dry up to make way for the kings of the east, right? Because the kings of the east are going to march toward, you know, Jesus during the Battle of Armageddon, okay? So the river has to be dry. Y'all, guess what's happening right now? The river is drying up. Now, here's the second thing. There's a prophecy in Revelation 9:14 saying, it says, say to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river, where? Euphrates. Now, you know, I don't show anything unless I can back it up. I research. But y'all, I was on the internet. You can go in there for yourself. So where the Euphrates has dried up, they found cages and caves and tunnels that look like prison cells. Now, y'all, somebody supposedly made a recording of some sounds coming from there. Anybody heard this? That stuff spooked me out, y'all. We're not even gonna play it. Because number one, if it's not real, I don't want nobody to come back and say it was a hoax. But if it is real, I don't want half of y'all to run out of here. Because you can hear chains, you can hear all kinds. You heard this? It's crazy. That these four angels that are gonna destroy over half of the earth during the tribulation, thank God we won't be here. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. They're bound in the Euphrates that is drying up. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about it. It's one of the greatest times to be alive. We are the end time generation. Click it. So this is, so you see that boat right there? That used to be full of water. The Euphrates is drying up right now. The Bible predicted this over 2,000 years ago. You see that bottom right hand, the bottom of the screen, that's where those little caves and look like prison bars and all that is down there. And supposedly they can hear eerie sounds. This is what the river was like before. This is what it's like now. It's drying up. And in a few years, it's going to be totally dry. All right? All right, here we go. Next sign. Sign number three. Now, y'all, I used to think heifer was the cuss word because my grandmama used to call women that she didn't like. That old heifer, I didn't know what heifer was. But this is a term in the Bible. We're not cussing here. How many ever heard somebody call somebody heifer? Them old people, and hussy, that old hussy. Know what a hussy is, what a heifer was. I guess they meant that old cow, whatever. Now, I don't have time. Anyway, there have been two temples, right? Solomon built the temple, and I believe Herod built the temple. Both of those temples were destroyed, okay? So Solomon's temple was destroyed, and then there was another temple built, more elaborate, they say, than Solomon's temple. And that was destroyed 70 AD, which Jesus predicted one stone won't be left upon the other. Now, if you go to Jerusalem right now, on the Temple Mount where the temple was, the Muslims built the Dome of the Rock. And I'm told, I had a friend to just go over there. Christians and Jews can't even go up there. They can't go up there and pray. They can't do anything. It's for Muslims, right? Now, for the third temple to be built, that Dome of the Rock has to be destroyed. They are planning on, and y'all, that's going to cause war. All right, they're planning on building this third temple. To build the third temple, they need red heifers. Look at Numbers 9:19-2. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein there is no blemish upon, has never came a yoke. All right? Now, y'all, there had been no red heifers for thousands of years. None. All right? Click the next one. Let's see what happens.
Now, evangelical Christian farmers in Texas who are apparently very familiar with Mosaic law and the requirements donated the heifers, and upon arrival in Israel, the cows were reportedly taken to a farm near Beit Shan, where they're currently under supervision and in a 10-day quarantine. Now, a group called Bonet Israel, I think I'm pronouncing that right, located the cows and helped facilitate this entire operation and get them to Israel. Pretty incredible work by Bonet Israel. Before the cows departed the U.S., a group of rabbis from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem even went to Texas and gave them the thumbs up. Five red heifers, unblemished, just as the law of Moses requires. Now, another major point here, and another reason why you should care about these cows, is that many in Israel and many prophecy watchers believe that the emergence of these red heifers after 2,000 years is one of the final steps towards the construction of a third Jewish temple in Jerusalem and the resumption of temple sacrifices. And they believe that means we are very close to the Messianic age. Remember, the first temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then the second temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Yet the Bible is clear that a third temple will be built and that it will stand in Jerusalem.
All right. We got your interest yet? Oh. Yeah, and they came from Texas. So all they need is one red heifer to resume the sacrifices in the temple, right? They sent five. And so out of the five, they're saying at least one of them is going to be eligible, because as they grow older, they may grow a white hair or a black hair. They can't have any blemish on them. So with the five, they're believing that they're going to come out with one. And after 2,000 years of none, they believe that this is the time that a lot of the things of the end are going to coalesce and come together. Right? Sign number two. Ha! Now, I'm going to say this. And I don't want to insult any cultures that in here other than African-American culture. But typically in our country, and you can just trace history back even to slavery, the African-Americans were the most respectful of God and Jesus and the things of God. In the 70s and you know, when it was hard rock and people were going into Satanism and all of that, like, black people stayed away from that, right? They respected God and all of that stuff. And then we were the last group, you know, even President Obama said we were the last group because we would resist same-sex marriages and same-sex unions and homosexuality and all of that stuff. So we were the most moral. Because we were, and even they say still, we're the most religious and Christian group of people in America. Yet, we know that William Seymour was an African-American who started the Spirit-filled movement here in America and all around the world. The Pentecostal churches came out of Azusa Street that William Seymour was a part of. He presided over and seemed like he was the catalyst of, right? And so those things went and it, you know, it split because of racism at the time, turned into the Church of God in Christ, the black part of it, and the white part was the Assemblies of God. So it's no wonder to me that in the end times that very group of people has seemed to become the most blasphemous in our time. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Look at Revelation 13 and 6. And he opened his mouth, talking about the Antichrist, that whole chapter is about the Antichrist, and in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, not only his name, but his church. Yeah, his tabernacle, where he lived. And them that dwell in heaven. And at this time, who's dwelling in heaven? The church, the Christians. You got it? The rapture's already happened. Daniel 11:36, looking forward to the Antichrist. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. he shall blaspheme the God of gods in one version and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined, for that that is determined shall be done. So let's talk about blasphemy. So I don't know, you might be surprised, some of the people that are speaking wise and otherwise counter to the things of God. Roll it. Is this good tonight?
One of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
We please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I get,
what about Jesus? What about Jesus?
Yeah,
does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
I don't go to church. God don't live in church. They say the body is the temple. I'm walking in church right now. You know, I tell a Christian in a minute, I say, I don't believe Jesus died on no cross. But wait a minute. He could walk on water, feed 1,000 with a loaf of bread, raise the dead. But you telling me this couldn't handle 3 nails.
Recently, Steve Harvey, who, by the way, professes to be a Christian.
Being a Christian hard. Christian got too many rules.
He visited a Muslim mosque and had this to say.
There's no one way to heaven, no one way to paradise. It's like television. Now it's over 800 channels of cable, and they're all pretty entertaining. So I'm pretty sure, man, that to get to heaven, there's got to be more than one route.
I think the gayest place on the face of the earth is the black church, and it's the most one of the most repressive. Because I think all the dudes there is kids that used to gotta go with their kids, dudes that used to gotta go with their wives, and men that are trying to pray the love of out of their heart. They're like, I'm already on my knees, so like I just think
the Jesus that was here 2,000 years ago was a prophet, and the New Testament is 25% history, but 75% prophetic of Jesus, the Messiah, who would come at the end of the white man's world. If you took Christianity, and if it were a wet rag, and you wrung it out, every drop would say slavery.
How he reveals himself to us, he lets you live in our own mentality. So when you grapple with this notion of many paths to God, there has to be many paths to God because we are many people. And in the process, he reveals himself in many
ways. And he has to reveal at your level, and not everybody's at the same level.
Not everybody's at the same level.
Not everybody's
at the same level. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And cross paths.
What y'all think about that? Yeah. T.D. Jakes says there's many paths. Talking to Oprah, who believes there's many paths. Steve Harvey says there's many paths. Some of y'all need to get delivered from Farrakhan tonight, brothers. Stop listening to them dudes. Amen. Dr. Umar, Gumar, whatever his name,
right.
So twisted up. I blame him. Yeah, but he do be spitting some knowledge. That dude sound like a fool. But here's the good news. Sign number one. Revival is breaking out all over the country. And guess what? It's starting right here. Come on, somebody. You see all these people, look around, all these people in church on a Thursday night. Y'all, revival, y'all, in the middle of all of this. This is why it's so easy. Some of y'all have been so afraid to witness and evangelize. Y'all, it is so easy right now. to share Christ with people, share your church with people, share what God is doing with people. People are hungry. People, y'all, I don't know, and they don't know I'm a preacher. People, they are drawn to me. They ask me about the end times all the time. What do you think? They don't know I just wrote the book on it. I'm the expert on it, or whatever people say. But y'all, people are hungry to know what is going on. Acts 2:16-17. But this was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will what? Pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. And your old men shall dream dreams. Now, y'all, some of y'all have heard about the Ashbury revival and all of that. And the Lee College revival. Go ahead and roll that clip. Now, y'all, I don't know about everything, all that stuff that has happened, but I do know that something is happening and that it has been declared. We were at that conference. They declared it at the conference. They said an awakening is coming. When that young man, that football player fell dead on the field, you know he was dead. He was dead for several minutes. And his coach, who was a man of God, made everybody come around and pray. Everybody was praying. Everybody that was watching, everybody in the NFL was praying. He told them not to move the body off the field. He said, don't move them. We're praying. And when they prayed, they kept praying. His heartbeat came back. Amen. And y'all, it's starting an awakening. People are waking up to the power of God and knowing that their only hope is Jesus Christ. So Asbury, they started some Bible study. It was kind of quirky and corny. I watched it. The Bible study that started, and man, they just stayed 24 hours for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and then somebody came in and stopped it. But it started at, it also started spreading at other colleges. Roll the next one. And so this is some of those scenes. All right. In the middle, this is our church. We rented out a movie theater at 1 o'clock on a Saturday to show the only showing of Left Behind. And y'all, people packed. We had to get a bigger theater. We had to turn people away. People are hungry for God. You ought to give God some praise right now. I don't care what the devil is doing. How many of y'all know God is greater? We're living in the best time that we can live in. We're seeing the signs, and we can look up and shout because our redemption draws nigh. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Y'all, we had to turn people away in the middle of the day on a Saturday. Because they were so hungry to hear about what's going on with the end times. Y'all, the title of the movie was Left Behind, The Antichrist Rises, something like that. That's kind of scary. But people wanted to know. People was buying tickets. They was coming in. They was packing it out. We had to change theaters, and we still couldn't get everybody in. Y'all, there is a great awakening. So what should we be doing during this time? We should be sharing the gospel with people. Come on, we should be sharing our faith. Come on, somebody. Get the rapture revelation. If you need me to sow them and donate it, whatever you need. But get that in the hands of people. Get the video that we did here. Get them in the hands of people and let people see it. Have a watch party. Talk about the end time. Talk about the things. And we'll make this PowerPoint available. Show people the PowerPoint and let them see that these are the signs of the end time. How many of y'all believe that these are the signs of the time? How many of y'all know that you can share that with some people? Because people want to know. People are afraid. They know something has happened. They believe that we're on the verge of World War III. They see the things that's happening overseas with Putin and Ukraine and Russia joining China. And these things have all been predicted in the Bible. So y'all, we got to get the message out. Wonder who's gonna get it out? Anybody gonna get it out? Anybody gonna talk to somebody about it? Anybody gonna show somebody? I think this is on YouTube. Let's they strike it down. Amen. They took us off. We can't even be on YouTube for a week because some of the stuff that we said that we can't broadcast. So I hope I don't get y'all in trouble. But as long as it's up there, why don't you send it out? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. And y'all, it could be at any moment. At any moment. The rapture can happen at any moment. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. Y'all know the twinkle of an eye? It's not even a second. It can happen at any moment. And y'all, I'm not going to be disappointed. If God gets me out of this world before I get my next house, I'm not going to be disappointed. For God get me out of this world before I get my next car, I'm not going to be disappointed. How about you? Is anybody happy that Jesus is getting ready to come back? Is anybody happy that Jesus is getting ready to come back? Is anybody happy? Ain't nobody mad feeling bad but the devil. Somebody say amen. All right. Now I used almost all my time. So here it is, and I'm going to go through this really quick. It's from the 9th chapter of my book, which when we were at this conference, Rick Renner changed his message to the rapture, and he talked about this entire chapter. So what's going to be your fight right now? Your fight, even though you saw all of this, the stuff that we said tonight, which is pretty convincing, what you think? There is a strategy that the devil has against those of us in the church that are in the know. And so he wants to keep people that don't know from coming in and coming into the knowledge. But the people that know, he wants us to fall away. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 2. I've got three points. I hope I help you tonight, and we're going to minister to some people tonight as well. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now y'all, this means emphatic. This is emphatic. The Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. You can't depart from something you were never a part of. You cannot depart from something you were never a part. It's talking about people, y'all. I know people who were strong in the Lord. How many of y'all remember some people that were strong in the Lord, that were strong in the church, that were strong on doctrine, that were strong? I knew people who were strong on the rapture, who were strong on end time. I knew people that were strong in the Word of God. They fallen away. How many of y'all know some people like that?
Yes, sir.
They fallen away. Some strong people that used to go to this church. Left the church, fell away. This is his strategy, y'all. And I want y'all to listen to me real good. Step number one is what it says. They shall fall from the faith. Here's how they're going to do it. Number one, they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. Here is the first step, seducing spirits. Step number one is a spirit starts to seduce these people. I've seen it happen over and over, and I'm going to show you how it happens. Most spiritual tragedies begin with a conversation that should never be spoken. Some voice of interference, I'm reading from my book, starts talking to the person and begins slowly seducing the poor soul away from, number one, strong believers. And I'm going to tell you, you are surrounded with a body of strong believers. The first thing the devil's going to try to do is get you away from the people of KCC. Yeah. First thing he's going to try to do. Try to drive a wedge. Try to drive distance. That's why I'm always curious about the people that sit in the nosebleed. I mean, just for the last 10 years. Their posture says we're distance. We're not coming close. Mm-hmm. I'm on the edge. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I'm on that slippery slope. I'm on a banana peel. All devil got to do is push or blow, and I'm going. Somebody say amen. Yeah. All right. So there's a seduction. And the seduction always comes from another voice other than the proven mentor, other than your proven pastor, who I continue to say has raised the dead and people saw it. Amen. All right. Amen. That's one of the signs of an apostle, if you didn't know that. But somehow, some way, somehow, something he did wasn't right. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know about seduction? Seduction doesn't happen all at once. Huh? Huh? That guy going to work, Melvin, he loves his wife, upstairs, got his wedding ring on. It don't happen all at once now. Huh? Big booty Brenda been talking to him. Huh? And the first day, he's like, oh, yeah, ooh, girl, you know, yeah. Man, my wife wear that same perfume. He's talking about his wife. Awesome. But Pam, just a little extra giggle. Why are you giggling all that with her? Ah, girl. You been working out? Well, hey, man, you know. You don't laugh and giggle with nobody else. It's a slow seduction, right? Yeah? And then after a few minutes, he started, you know, I like, you know, you look good in black. He wearing black every day. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he done pulled his wedding ring off. Come on, somebody. It's a slow seduction. It didn't all happen at one time. Y'all get what I'm saying? And y'all, there are some people in this room. You are in part of the process of seduction. You're in the throes of falling away. It's a progression. You're in one of the stages. And I'm telling you, y'all, oh my God. Black men, black men, black men, men, all my men, let me hear you make some noise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang, I said all the men make some noise. Some men didn't even say nothing. Okay, if you're a man, you want people to know you're a man, can you make some noise? Okay, just checking. So y'all, I got to deal with it tonight, just a little bit. Because y'all, it's people, my family, knew the Lord and stuff, and y'all, I'm talking to these people now, y'all, and the only difference between now and then is YouTube. That's it. That's the only difference.
Teach it. That's serious. Come on. That's serious.
And the reason why some of this didn't even resonate with a lot of the men, when we start talking about the Middle East, start talking about the Red Heavens, start about talking about Israel, because they got some stronghold in their mind. Oh, they're not the real Jews, no way. Yeah. We're looking at the wrong Jews. Yeah. I'm looking at men now. Mm-hmm. I know, I got you. You've been listening to that stuff. Well, why we can't be the real Jews? Okay. Can I kill it one more time? Can I kill it one more time? Y'all, do you remember the Samaritans in the Bible? Huh? The Jews did not fool the Samaritans. Why? Anybody know? Anybody? See, y'all don't know. But y'all up there listening to Farrakhan, Dr. Uma Guma, and all them people. Okay. Do you know why the Jews didn't fool with the Samaritans? Anybody? No, don't know. Oh, the pastor know, this front row know. Does anybody, any men, do you know why? Huh? No, because they were mixed breeds. They were Assyrians mixed with the people of Judah, right? Which supposed to be the lost tribe that makes us, right? So y'all, I just want to know. How can we be the original anything? Everybody look around. All right. Folks, we got folks in here. I mean, all of us. We got white blood in our DNA. Come on, somebody. Ain't no white in us, y'all. Come on, men. Is there white in us? Everybody got some Indian in them. Come on, somebody. We got mixed up African tribes in us. Yes. You think when they brought the Africans over here on the slave, they made love, they had sex with only the people from their tribe? Huh? Even if we were from the tribe of Judah, that there's no other mixed tribe in us? Come on, man, I can't hear you. So how can we be the original anything? That's so stupid. But we start getting seduced. Why are you listening to anybody other than your pastor? I can't hear this. And then they'll sit in your church, pastor, and disagree with you. And then you're talking about Jesus, Jesus. And they'll walk up to some of the woke brothers like, yeah, man, yeah. Yeah. It's Yeshua. Yeah, it's Yeshua. Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's Yeshua.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't heard this, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His real name is Yeshua. Yeah. His real name is Yeshua. We ain't run into them brothers yet, have we? Yeah. Huh? Their real name is Yeshua. So stupid. Because they don't have no power. This is how I shut it down. You know, Yeshua is Hebrew, right? Joshua, Yeshua, however you want to pronounce it, it's Hebrew. Do you know, and this is how I shut them down, bro. Bro, Trey, I say that, you know, the devils know Jesus' name in every language. I don't know what it is in Chinese, but if a Chinese pastor casts a devil out in the name of Jesus in Chinese, that demon coming out. And I've cast out devils in the name of the white English Jesus, and devils came out. We've raised the dead in the name of Jesus, and the dead was raised. We've opened ears up in the name of Jesus. Ask your Hebrew Israelite boys, do they got any power to do any of that? And if they ain't got no power, stop listening to that stuff. Farrakhan has done no miracle. Please give me a YouTube of a miracle he's done. Why are you listening to him?
Come on.
He's supposed to be a Muslim from the Nation of Islam and never preach from the Quran. He's always preaching from the Bible. Wonder why in Christian churches? Because he's trying to deceive some people. I'm a Christian pastor. I preach from the Bible. You ain't never heard me preach from the Quran? And there are men in here, you've been listening to that stuff. And it's stupid. And you know, they do got some true points. No, they don't. They have no points. Can I show you one more scripture to use with these guys? Sit down. Pastor, if you just give me a few. Go to Deuteronomy 30. Since we the true Israelites, since we the true Jews. No, I want to show you this now. My son like these, he over there laughing. That's what I'm talking about, Pastor. You got to go hard. He said I got weak since you done gotten older. You don't go hard like you used to. He's something else. All right, look at Deuteronomy. I just want to show you the scripture, y'all. Golly, so stupid. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's the dumbest stuff ever, man. And it's the dumbest stuff that we get tripped up on. Like, we ain't got no answer for. We mix with everything. How are we the true Hebrew Israelites? And you know why white black people hate themselves so much? Because they hate the white in them. They never acknowledge the white in them. We got white ancestry too. Why we don't celebrate that? That's why we got so much self-hate. Trying to be somebody. Trying to find an identity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to... Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Wait a minute. Oh, I put it on my offering envelope. Wait a minute. What was it? Hold on. I'm gonna get it. All right, here we go. It's in Deuteronomy. Let me see. Yeah, it's 31. Let's go to 31. Deuteronomy 31. Y'all tracking with me tonight?
Amen.
Now this thing don't want to worry. God, that devil. He don't want y'all to know. Let's go to 30. 31 and 20. Yeah. Let's go to 31 and let's go to 30 and 13. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it say? That devil don't want me to find this tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, look at 13. And that the children which have not known anything may hear and learn that the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over to the Jordan to possess it. And the Lord, look at verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with the fathers and this people that go horn after other gods and strangers. And you know, the thing that they told me that makes us the Israelites is because of all the curses, they say, not the blessings.
Right.
Have you ever heard this?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we identify with the curses instead of the blessing. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. But there's a scripture here. I can't find it, and I got to move on. But there's a scripture here, and I wrote it on the back of my envelope. It talks about God, and if you can find it from Pastor, it talks about he's going to take them into the land that he promised his forefathers, their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them, that they would inherit and possess the land. And so here's the thing I say to Hebrew Israelites. If you're a real Hebrew Israelite, then you need to go possess your land. Somebody say amen.
Right.
So why are you on the street corner hassling, you know, old Baptist grandmamas? Come on, somebody. You need to be over there, huh? 31 and 7. There you go. I think it's 31 and 7. Yeah, that's it. And Moses called Joshua and said unto him, sight of all Israel, be strong and be courageous, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord sworn to their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Y'all, so here's the thing. The thing about being a Jew and being a Hebrew is that there is land possession that goes along with that.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So the Hebrew Israelites don't need a 30 acres, 40 acres and a mule from the Americans. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They need to go over there and fight with them Palestinians and get the land that belongs to them because they the true Hebrew Israelites. But we've been getting seduced. And y'all, we pick on the men, you know, like that. But women are being seduced by Oprah.
Yes. Come on. Teach us, man of God.
And you try burning sage. And something did happen when I burned the sage. Y'all, I'm telling you. And we're getting seduced into other practices, other religions. We're doing it through music. We're doing it through our favorite artists, through like people like Beyonce and people like that. And we're coming into mysticism and all this other kind of stuff. And we're being seduced. We sit in church. We lift our hands. We praise the Lord. And nothing happens because we are mixing what the word says with other stuff. Is that true? There's a young girl over there. She's like, yes, Pastor. This is what's going on. Is that what's going on? With the young people, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And they don't have true Christianity. It's a mixture.
Right.
You ever seen a Rubik's Cube when it gets mixed up? That's some of y'all Christianity. Blue, red, white, yellow. I mean, it's all kind of different stuff that you do. You burn sage a little bit. You go listen to Minister Farrakhan a little bit. You go to Oprah Book Club a little bit. You come to church and listen to Pastor Roger a little bit. You go listen to Dr. Omar for a little bit. And then it's all mixed up. Steve Harvey, who's all mixed up?
Right. Come on. Teach us, Pastor.
And there's a seduction. Everybody tell somebody, don't get seduced. Tell them, say, don't get seduced. All right, to seduce is to persuade somebody to disobedience or disloyalty. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody hang around the church talking all that kind of crazy stuff, you need to snitch.
Yes.
I tell them in my church, snitches get riches.
Yes.
God going to bless you.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
You need to tell somebody talking outside the doctrines and stuff like that. Because there's a progression of seduction. And here's how it starts with many of you. Proverbs 18, 19. And it, you know, it could have started tonight because I'm a very offensive and very direct person. And some of y'all still looking, you know, like, why are you here? Like, why are you here? You mean mugging me? Why are you here? You can't get with what we're doing, what we talking about. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 18, 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like bars of a castle. So when you get offended, that begins the stages of falling away. It starts with offense. The people that left Jesus, they got offended by what he said. And he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life. They got offended at what he said. And the Bible said many of them left him and never followed him again. So you got to guard offense. Do you have a right to be offended? No, you don't. John 16, 1 said, be not offended. Jesus said, it's a command. Don't get offended. Somebody say amen. It's amazing. I love this. This is out of my book. I love it. You should get it. It's amazing how many church members will watch filthy comedians. Don't nobody watch Dave Chappelle. He be spitting truth, but you know, but he do be cussing. He still be calling women B's and H's.
Right.
And tell them to commit oral sex on him.
Right.
But you'll watch that and don't get offended.
Come on. You own it.
Huh? You'll throw back and go watch Bernie Mac saying ML for every 5 minutes and he's funny.
Come on.
You don't get offended for that. Come on, somebody. People in the church struggle with porn, which they should be highly offensive at, but then get ultra offended at a leader if they don't recognize them or preach a message that convicts them. The devil is a liar. Why are you selectively offended? Come on, somebody. If you're offended at what I'm saying, you ought to be offended at Dave Chappelle. You ought to be offended at rated R movies. You ought to be offended at Pornhub. You ought to be offended across the board. But it's the spirit. Of seduction. Come on, somebody. Women will sit there, let a dude beat their brains out and find reasons to stay in the church. Pastor ain't touch you. He just preached a message. Oops, I gotta go. But you stay with that joker for 10 years. Come on, somebody. It's a spirit. Tell somebody it's a spirit. Number two, then it becomes doctrines of devils. That's the next stage. They begin to find something wrong with the teaching and the preaching of the pastor. Why are you talking about money so much? How many of us need money? That's why you talk about money. Because don't you need money? Right. That's why we talk about money. Because you need money, right? Well, why they don't do that? You know, I come to church, I feel beat up. I don't know, you know, whenever I watch T.D. Jakes, I feel so uplifted. Come on, somebody. Doctrines of devils. We talking about what you got to do with this end time message and what's going on and that you know it's end time. You got to fight not to fall away in this city. This is not the time, y'all, to be okey-doke with your Christianity, be slipshod Christianity, be slipping in and out of what you believe, don't know what you believe, don't know why you believe it. I come to church one Sunday, I miss three. This is not the time. Because we're right at the end of the end.
This is the end of the end.
Come on.
So the doctrines of devils, the Pharisees, the Hebrew Israelites. Everybody that come to me with the Hebrew Israelites, but I ain't with the Hebrew Israelites. And that's all they're talking about.
Right.
Stupid stuff. Anyone say, yeah, because the white man devil, they gave you this and that. You can't believe the white man. The white man, you know, they lie. You can't, they lie to you. And see, here's how they get you, brother. Here's how they get you. Here's how they seduce you and they get that doctrine of the devil's in. This is how they get you open. This is how they get you open. You know, y'all talk about how to get a woman open, right? This is how they get y'all open. See, brother, see, my brother, see, they didn't tell you. See, it's some things they didn't tell you. So I done did my research. AKA, I watch YouTube. I done did my research, my brother. See, they didn't tell you that Captain Crunch was really a black man, but they put a white man on the box. Do you understand? Amen. Do you understand? Oh, see, they got you understanding. But see, they want you under. The white man wants you under. You need to overstand, my brother. Overstand. You need to overstand. Stop understanding. See, nobody wants to feel like they've been duped. No man wants to feel like, hey, bro, I got the tea on your woman, bro. You thought your woman was a word. She was over here with dude, right? So nobody wants to feel dude. So that's how they get men. See, they didn't tell you this, my brother. They didn't tell you this, my brother. Well, who told you that, my brother? Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. He always talking about money. Or why is he always talking about sin? Or why does he teach more encouraging message? I need a stronger word. I'm just not getting fed anymore. What about the people say tithing isn't biblical? God doesn't want to heal everybody. Everybody doesn't have to speak in tongues. Jesus is not the only way. Doctrines of devils. And it's people sitting up in here. Oh, I see you too. It's people sitting up in here. And you disagree with over half of what we teach in here. Why are you here? Why are you here? Because the spirit is controlling you. The doctrines of devil. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Somebody say amen. Amen. And here's what I say. I tell my people all the time. Don't take none of my word for it. Get in the word. Now you too. Get in the word and research the word to find if the things that I'm saying are true and to see if those things that I say work. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is the biggest giveaway with people. People will come to church not knowing salvation, not understanding anything about the scripture. Then they'll accept Christ in the same church, get baptized, and learn all the bases of Christianity from the same pastor or church leaders, only to become disillusioned with the teachers of the church months later. They've been seduced by evil spirits, these people. Here's the last part. You see? Isn't that what happened to Eve? And y'all, you don't have to act like it don't happen because that's what the devil's doing. It's in the room. It's in the air. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? That's what he asked Eve. Did God really say that? Oh, that's pastor's opinion. That sounds like pastor's opinion. That sound like that. He you know, pastor very opinionated. You think we up here preaching our opinions? What did the Bible say about a pastor? Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 3:15. What did the Bible say? Mm-hmm. I will give you after my, and they will do what? With what? That means it's stuff you don't know. Yeah. Are you willing to admit I'm ignorant in here? Watch this. Mm-hmm. You see the devil's? No, ain't nobody know. I'm ignorant of something. I need to learn something. Yes, look at the hands that's still down. Turn around, look. Are you ignorant of anything? Is there anything you need to learn?
Yeah, that's right.
So that means that you know everything. Which leads to the next stage. I hope you don't lose nobody, man. So then the next phase is they speak lies with hypocrisy. That's how it goes. So amongst the group, I'm talking like I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm with it. And then that's when I get, yeah, bro, you know his real name is Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's Yeshua.
Yes, sir.
You know, I love this church, man, but you know, you really got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. You know what I mean? That's where I come from. That's where I come from. Mm-hmm. People don't do that in church, do they?
Yeah.
They don't do that around here, do they? Mm-hmm. They start to speak lies and hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is, I'm with it. I act like I'm with it. I act like I'm with you. So here's the question. Why are you here? They're here to get other people, to indoctrinate other people, to pull weak people away. That's why they're here. They're here to manifest rebellion and resistance to the things of God. Can't never get with it. You got to watch it, y'all. Somebody say amen. And we're not talking about everybody being automaton. We're not talking about the Steph of Wise Church, everybody saying the same thing, doing everything. But what I'm saying to you is that there's a time of great deception. There's a time when wolves will come in among us. Ravening wolves, the Bible said. There's a time when people, and I love what the apostle said, there need to be some wolf-biting sheep. We need to have some sheep that know how to bite some wolves. And shut them down and shut up. Hey, did you tell the pastor that his name is Yeshua? Hey, pastor.
Right.
Hey, pastor.
Right.
Come here, man. He's saying his real name is Yeshua.
Right.
Blow they spot up.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, don't fall away. Don't fall away in this season. Don't fall away in this season. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy. I've often wondered why these people stick around the church, why they don't just leave if they've fallen out of alignment and agreement with the doctrine of the leadership. The reason is why they don't is because they're being used by those seducing spirits to cause others in the fellowship to depart from the faith. Usually, it's only when they are exposed and confronted that they leave the local church. You know, we've had to tell people, warn them in private, take two or three people, warn them again, and then this is the last thing. This always gets them because they don't want to be exposed, parent. And I just had a meeting like this recently. I said, now listen, the next time we have to come back with this, there's going to be a PowerPoint up on the screens with your picture on it. Because isn't that what the Bible said? It said the last day you bring them to the church. You got to cut it out around here.
Amen.
We got a formula for witches. We got a formula for Absaloms. We got a formula for Judases. We got a formula. Amen. We know what we're doing with that stuff. And every shut eye ain't sleep. And just because we don't say nothing don't mean we don't know nothing. Somebody say amen. But you got to rattle around your brothers and sisters. Huh. And help them not fall away. Yeah. Mama Joan, think one time she told me, she said, now I ain't gonna even sit beside nobody talking no fools in church. If I gotta move, I'ma move. Somebody say amen.
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 And she moved.
Since time out from being weak, come on somebody, we need an army of Christians that's gonna stand up and defend the faith. Defend the word of God. Defend your church. Defend your pastor. Defend your first lady. Defend the doctrines of the church.
That's right.
Yeah, everything. You know, I agree with everything, but you know, all that speaking in tongues and stuff. First lady, hey, come on over here. She says she don't know about the speaking in tongues. Can you explain it to her? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what does it say? No, you got to be nice. No, that ain't what it says. It's a militant church. Rather do what?
Expose
them.
That's it.
When there's a spy among us, when there's espionage, you know, they found out that somebody in the Congress was cohabitating and communicating with a Chinese spy, you know, that dude in trouble right now. Even the liberal government don't tolerate that. Right. Not yet. Now, there's a difference between us and them. And we got to make that distinction now more than any other time.
Right.
Everybody stand on your feet. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Get in the Word. Get off Facebook. Get off social media. Stop listening to Charlemagne the God. and DJ Envy and Snoop Dogg every 5 minutes. And who's the greatest? Tupac or Biggie? Man, who cares? Who's the greatest? LeBron or MJ? Who cares, y'all? And y'all, man, you know, we can get, I mean, I get caught up in this stuff. I mean, I remember, you know, and I love Coach Prime style, you know. I remember this summer, the Lord said, hey, you watching Coach Prime or do you read my word? I had to come off that channel. Yo, we got to get serious, y'all, about the things of the end right now. And y'all, I'm not trying to sell books. Y'all, if you can get it, get it. Right. If you can't get it, I give it to you. Goodbye. But if you're going to read it now, if I give it to you. Can you read it if I give it to you? And y'all, we got to share this information. We got to get this information out because people don't know about the rapture, y'all. I almost cried the other day. We had a guy over our house with some security stuff, and he was just, I never heard about it. So you ever heard of Left Behind the book? No. Was in his generation. The devil is hiding his stuff. Yet he's putting it in his movies to prepare people.